Hey, my name is Reggie Joyner, and if you're listening to this podcast right now, it's probably because of one of two reasons. One, you're a parent of a teenager. This has been specifically designed to talk to you about some issues, or specifically an issue, that we want you as a parent of a teenager to think about. The second reason you're probably listening to this is because your son or your daughter is a part of a student ministry who's going through a series called The Good Fight. This podcast is actually a part of that series. We are talking to students and teenagers around the country about the importance of fighting for their relationships with their parents, because we want them to understand how important it is for them to keep the right kind of relationship with you as a parent, and ultimately how that's going to affect their life in a lot of different ways. And so it only made sense for us, if we're going to talk to them about fighting for their relationship with you, to talk to you about fighting for your relationship with them. And we hope, as a part of this series, there'll even be an opportunity for you to sit down with a son or a daughter and have a discussion about how important your time together is and how important your relationship is together. And because I think there's something about this stage of parenting that causes us, if we're not careful as parents, to check out, because we begin to wonder, we begin to think if really what we're doing is making a difference. And as our students, as our sons and daughters move toward independence, it feels like emotionally that they're pulling away, and they are in a way, but we also feel like sometimes, or misinterpret that sometimes, to think that they're not needing us in their lives. But the truth is, they need us in our lives at this stage in different ways, but sometimes in even more important ways than they needed us when they were younger. I mean, think through the stages of parenting for just a second. I mean, most of you remember the day when you walked out of the delivery room holding a baby in your arms and you were highly motivated to make a difference in this child's life. You had these dreams, you had these expectations. I don't know, maybe you wanted her or him to grow up and be a professional athlete, find the cure for cancer, make $1 million so that you could retire early. I mean, you have all of these grandiose ideas. You're highly motivated. You can even see this when you go to an elementary school and see how many parents show up at a PTA meeting, because they're all highly motivated. These are critical stages. But as we move toward middle school and toward high school years, we begin to shift to another stage. It's what I call the very worried stage. All of a sudden, we're checking out their friends. We're trying to control things that maybe we can't control sometimes. We're sort of monitoring them. We're investigating, you know, what's going on, because we know that the decisions they make, the choices they make at this stage are very, very critical. And somewhere, you know, between middle school and high school and college, we kind of just shift into this extremely confused stage. As they move toward independence, you know, we all of a sudden feel like we're losing control, like they don't want us in their lives, like they are no longer interested in having a relationship with us. But the truth is, they're shifting, they're changing. You know, they're moving toward what God has designed them to become, which is an independent adult. And it's hard for us sometimes to figure out how to navigate through those waters and to figure out how to make that transition and to make it in a way where we keep the relationship with them intact. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about fighting for that relationship. Because sometimes as they transition from dependence to independence, and you're transitioning from authority to influence, sometimes you just have a tendency to misinterpret things and to shut down. And there's certain myths I think we buy into. You know, myth number one is this, that they don't want to spend time with me. Well, in reality, they really do want to spend time with you. They just want to spend time with you when they want to spend time with you and how they want to spend time with you. And so it's up to you as a parent to sort of figure that out and understand that that's still an important part of your relationship, is time together. Another myth I think sometimes we buy into is this, that when we spend time together, it really doesn't make a difference. I think the reality of that is, when you spend time together, it does make a difference. But here's the key, you will rarely see the immediate results of that time together. In other words, I can't count the parents who thought by doing things with their sons and daughters because they didn't see that visible or tangible result, they thought what they were doing was not making a difference at all. So guess what? They just shut down. They quit. They quit trying. And I have had a number of teenagers through the years talk to me about how they wish their parents would still work on their relationship with them, even though the parent feels like, on the other side, that maybe their student or their son or daughter is not even interested in having a relationship. Another myth we buy into is this, I need to spend priority time with my son or daughter so we can have teachable moments. In other words, we have this agenda, we have this motive, we have this reason why we meet together with our sons and daughters. And basically, ultimately in their lives, our kids think, you know what, you're wanting to meet with me, and the only reason you're wanting to meet with me is not to spend time with me, but because there's something you want us to talk about, or something you want me to change, or something you want me to fix. And so there's always an ulterior motive attached to the time and the priority. In reality, we need to spend priority time with our sons and daughters not so we can have teachable moments, but so we can have meaningful moments. If your time together is always about teachable moments, your kids are going to feel manipulated. And so during this Good Fight series that we're taking your teenager through, we're hoping to kind of reestablish the importance of spending time together. We actually hope this will be an opportunity, even if you've tried before, to kind of start over with sort of some new rules. So as you work on your relationship with them and they work on their relationship with you, we've established some guidelines and some boundaries that'll help make that more successful. Because ultimately, we are absolutely convinced that your teenager needs you in their life and that you need your teenager in your life, and that ultimately this relationship is one of the most important relationships that through time can happen. Because ultimately, guess what? Those of us who work with your teenagers in a church setting, we have about 40 hours in a given year. And we have a window of time that will one day be over and be gone. But you'll be a part of their life until at least, you know, you go to heaven or you're gone. You're going to be a part of their life. And it's very, very important that the approval that they need, that the issues that need to be resolved in their life between you and them, that that relationship stays intact. So what does it look like? What does priority time look like as you begin to try to rearrange your calendar just a little bit and establish a habit of spending time with your teenager? Well, it can be something that both mom and dad do with your student. It could be something that one of you do with them. But here's some rules. Number one, find some common ground. Find something that you both like to do. Find something you both enjoy. Try to create some opportunities where you can have some shared experiences together. And that may be something that's a stretch for you. But ultimately, you bend their direction and figure out something that you could do that would be fun for both of you. Second, make sure there's no agenda. We've already mentioned this before, but nothing shuts down a conversation than a son or a daughter or a teenager thinking you've got another motive. You're trying to manipulate them. And the only reason you're really meeting with them is to try to make a point, teach them something, get them to change something. So make sure that you set aside some time and you refuse to go there. You refuse to do anything at all that would make it look like you've got an agenda and a motive behind what you're doing other than spending time with them because they're your teenager, they're your son, they're your daughter, and you want to be with them. Three, keep it outside your home. Try to do some things outside the home together so that, again, you're in a different environment. You're having fun together. You're not in the context of the surroundings that you're real familiar with. Four, do it without friends. Do it without their friends and do it without your friends. Now, absolutely, sometimes it's great to hang out with their friends and sometimes it's great to have them hang out with your friends. That's a very healthy relationship in the family, but you need priority time with your son and your daughter alone. And somewhere along the way, you want to have the kind of conversations with them that are intimate. The kind of conversations where you can kind of pull the covers off and show them what you feel and what you think and your heart and things about your life that they need to know, and hopefully they'll do the same. Five, and this is the fifth principle, put it on the schedule and don't put it on a Friday. You know what Fridays are like for teenagers. So don't try to create an expectation or put a demand on them. I learned this early as a parent. I wanted to have a family night every night on Friday night. Well, that worked great until my kids hit middle school and high school and they started wanting to hang out with their friends. And then it became this conflict. And the very thing that I was trying to create that would be a positive moment was a point of tension because they wanted to go hang out with their friends. And I had to be okay with that. I had to make sure I didn't take it personal. And I decided, you know what? This is a different stage of life and they need to be able to hang out with their friends. So I needed to readjust and find a time to put on the schedule to make it a priority. Six, stay flexible. Reschedule it if you need to. Don't make that a big deal. Don't create this thing that you have required for them to do that is an obligation. And if something changes and the plans change, don't stress out about that. Allow that to happen and just let them know that you want that time to be a priority and you'll rearrange it so that you can hang out together. Seven, remember, this is very, very important. Remember, your goal is not to change them. Your goal is not to change them. If you go after a relationship with a son or daughter or even a husband or wife and your motive is to change them, then again, what you're doing is you're actually planting a seed in that relationship that ultimately will be the demise of the time because you will not be able to have the kind of relationship with them if they feel like there's a motive. Number eight, and this is important as well, and it's going to sound like it's oversimplified, but I want you to think about it for just a second. Keep working on it. Even when things don't seem to go well, keep working on it. You see, this is where we sort of get into this idea of fighting for the relationship. Because ultimately, there are going to be times when it's hard. There are going to be times when you don't see the results. There are going to be times when you can't measure what really happened there. But by faith, the relationship needs to be what is important. And you need to decide as a mom or as a dad, you're going to keep working on this. You're going to keep working on it over and over and over and over again. You're going to start over as many times as you possibly need to because the most important thing is they understand that this is important to you and that you're going to fight for this relationship. Then last of all, use this as an opportunity to give your teenager one thing. Just one thing. This is going to sound super simplistic, but if you could, all the way through your time together, just remember this. Remember that the one goal you have is to give your son or your daughter, during your time together with them, a sense of approval. The time you spend together would take a whole new meaning. In other words, if they would walk away from the time they have with you that you've planned, that you've put on the calendar, that you've put on the schedule to just be time with them, if they would walk away sensing your approval and really believing that you believe in them, then you'll begin to accomplish something systematically in their life that would be very, very healthy. It's so much of a temptation to try to use that time to point out things and to fix things and to try to, you know, zero in on something that's wrong. And it may even be that right now in your relationship, there are some things that just aren't going right. And there's some things that are just bad. Maybe a teenager is grounded and you're going to spend time with them. So there's going to be a temptation to go down the road of, you know, well, why did you do this? And let's talk about this again. And ultimately, I want you to resist that temptation and use this time as a positive experience so that they can actually walk away knowing and believing in their heart that their mom, that their dad believes in them and that they have a sense of approval. Your approval means something different than anyone else's. Why? Because you know them better than anyone else does, and they know you know them better than anyone else does. You've seen their mistakes, you know their attitudes, and if you believe in them after all of that, then they'll have hope and they'll know it's real. Regardless of what is wrong, they need to know what is right. One day, you're not going to make their decisions, but you'll always be their father. One day, you know, you're not going to be able to control the environment around them, but you will always be their mother. You will always be their parent, but you won't always make the rules. You will want to have a relationship with them, and you want them to have a relationship with you. And just remember this. We are attracted to where we have acceptance, and we are attracted to where we have approval. One of the greatest things that you can do to ensure that you have a great relationship with a son or daughter is to give them the gift of approval. That's a very, very important principle when it comes to creating a relationship and an environment that's attractive. Every person's heart gravitates to the place where it's most accepted. It's just the nature of the heart. Your approval is the thing they will always remember. So let them know you believe in them and that they have your approval. We have spent a lot of time working on this specific series for teenagers because we know how important it is for them to have the right kind of relationship with you. And we know how difficult it is during this season of life for parents and teenagers to connect. It can just be messy sometimes. It can be complicated sometimes. And it really doesn't matter if you're a Christian family or not a Christian family. It's just going to be hard because there's this natural movement toward independence, as we've stated, and there's going to be this very, very normal thing that happens in your relationship as it kind of pulls apart and has to be redefined as they become adults. Several years ago, I was actually in a bedroom with one of my teenage daughters having a pretty intense conversation. She was in middle school in the seventh grade, and it was one of those moments where as the father, I was trying to control and I was trying to fix things and I was trying to get her to understand and I was trying to get her to pay attention and change an area of her life that she just needed to change. And we had this knockdown drag out. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it got kind of loud enough where the people downstairs could hear what was going on. And in the middle of this intense conversation, as I was trying to make sure that I had things under control, and she did something to me like only a seventh grade girl can do. She took this verbal shot, and it caught me by surprise in such a way that I didn't even know how to respond. I didn't know what to say. She knew exactly what to say and how to say it to shut me off or to shut me down. And I took it so personal. I got so upset. I didn't have any comeback. I turned around. I walked out of the room. I walked down the stairs. I walked into the garage. I got in the car, and I just started driving down the road, just flustered because I just didn't know how to deal with this thing, and I felt kind of defeated as a parent. I felt defeated as a father. And about 10 minutes into the drive, the phone rang, and it was her on the other end, the seventh grade daughter of mine. And she said, "Dad, you know I didn't mean what I said, and I'm sorry." And then she said this, "But why did you walk away? Why did you leave? I need to know that I'm worth the fight. I need to know that our relationship is so important to me that whatever happens, you're never going to walk away." You know something? I don't know your teenager. I don't know your son. I don't know your daughter. But I have this sneaky suspicion that they feel the same way. And if they could articulate it the right way, they would say to you, "Whatever happens, I don't want you as a parent to stop fighting for your relationship with me. And it may be that as a dad, it may be that as a mom, something has happened in your life personally. Maybe in some cases you feel like you don't have the tools that you need, or maybe you have lost a battle for a marriage, or maybe something else has taken place in your relationship where you've forfeited the right, or you feel like you forfeited the right to fight for time together. But I spent a lot of time with college students, and college students say to me over and over and over again, college students whose parents have checked out of their life, that they wish their parents still valued their relationship enough to fight for their time together. And I just want to encourage you, don't buy into the myths that sometimes parents of teenagers can buy into. And remember, we're talking to your teenager right now about the importance of fighting for their relationship with you. But they need to know that you want to fight for your relationship with them as well. So I'd like to ask you to do something as a parent. I'd just like to ask you to simply decide that you're going to make the first move. It may seem awkward. It may seem messy. It's a process. It may not feel like it works the first time you try to schedule a time together and go through this. But not only do I want you to make the first move, I want you to try to make the first move over and over and over and over again to carve out priority time. It really kind of makes sense. I mean, you are the adult, and it is a great opportunity for you to remind your sons and daughters that they're important to you. And when you carve out the time, when you make the first move and you take the initiative, you're kind of setting the pace. I hope that this series will be a good series in the life of your family. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to spend some time with some other parents and talk about this. You might even have a small group opportunity with parents of teenagers in your home. Maybe you listened to this podcast together. Maybe you listened to it separately and you got together and talked about it. One of the things I think would be great is for you just to have some dialogue and get feedback from other parents on what's working, what's not working. One thing we did one time with a group of parents is we actually sat around and we talked about creative ways and creative ideas to remind our teenagers that they were a priority in our life. And I remember in that conversation, one of the stories, one of the most powerful stories, was one of the moms talked about her father when she was growing up in high school and in college would always ask her what her schedule was, and he would write it down, and on an index card he would keep her schedule in his pocket as a way of just saying, you know, it's important to me to know where you are and what you're doing and to think about you. And from time to time he would ask her how she was doing in a specific class that he knew she had that day, because he was really tuned in to what was going on in her world. And that's all we're asking you to do, is to begin to tune in ways so that your sons and daughters, so that your teenagers know that they're important to you, and that whatever happens, you're never going to stop fighting for your relationship with them.